Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. God's been good to us. Haven't you found that in your life? Larry Trent, hasn't God been good to you, better to you? Yeah. It's so amazing that the Lord would be so, bless us so much to be so good to us. You know who you are. I know who I am. I know where I deserve to be. But not only has He given us salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, but then we haven't had to walk through one problem by ourselves since we got saved. Now, we might have bypassed the help that He wanted to give us and tried to be bullheaded, but we didn't have to. And He never left us and He never forsook us. God has been good. Praise the Lord. And I sometimes think that we take so much for granted. But He's just blessed us. I mean, look, we're sitting here on a Sunday night, gathered amongst a bunch of believers in Christ. And if there was a problem in this group right here tonight, if somebody, let me just put it like this, this is the best place for your battery to go dead. If you've got one out there and it won't start, somebody will jump it before you leave. You can't always guarantee that at the bar. They might just leave without you. So just mark it down. It's better to be at church than the bar tonight. You say, I don't know. Some of them are pretty friendly at the bar. Yeah, but they've got some other problems. And it's just a wonderful place. I can guarantee you this. If I came in with a heavy heart, all that bar could offer me is just something to drown my sorrows. And then tomorrow they would be just as bad, except I had a little less money to handle them. But you come with a heavy heart to the house of God. Not only the Lord, of course, is the one that bears them, but then other Christians, as the Galatian tells us, are there to bear one another's burdens. And I want our church to be, number one, I want it to be just that. But then number two, I want us to take advantage of that and use it for what it's for and participate in that thing. So I thank the Lord for what He's done. I want you to look in 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here that's specifically given to a young preacher named Timothy, but it gives great admonition to everybody that's here tonight. We find this section of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 12. It's focused on confronting apostasy. Paul's talking about the persecutions and afflictions that he endured back in verses 11 and 12. In verse number 12, he goes on to say that everybody that lives godly will suffer those things. But he's talking about here how to continue. And I want to preach for a little bit about that tonight. Continue, because he tells him to keep on going and continue in the things which thou hast learned and heard, been assured of. Sometime back, there was rumblings in the second largest denomination in America. Not that they would let homosexuals be their pastors, female or male, or some that are confused on the issue. Not that they would allow them to be pastors in that, because that's been happening for years. But rumblings in the second largest denomination about whether or not a local assembly would have any say about who they got if there was a sodomite that was assigned there, then that local assembly would have no recourse whatsoever except to accept them and take them, even if that local small denominator small group opted not to because they wanted to have a more traditional approach. Then they were arguing whether or not they would even be allowed to say who the headquarters sent their way. I'm telling you, folks, it's not just people outside of church. It's churches are a mess. This is not gossip. It's just Amy. There's just facts. Amy and I, we rented from a lady Southern Baptist ordained minister. You say, why'd you do that? Because we needed a house. And so this lady was ordained in the Southern Baptist Convention back, and that's been 25 years ago. I'm just saying that we're in a mess. And we've got churches that won't stand on what the Word of God says, as far as even at the basics of, I'm not talking about standing unkindly. I'm just talking about standing on the basics of male and female. We go back to the scriptures where it says male and female created he them. And when Jesus talks about the idea of marriage, he looks back and takes them all the way back to when his creation, when he made everybody, he and the Father, and he didn't come to a new conclusion regardless of what age we're now living in. And so we seem to rewrite everything that we don't like and keep nothing that doesn't sit well with us. And so that's the idea of this passage, because it says in verse number 11, the apostle God's using Paul to write to Timothy. He says, persecutions, affliction, which came unto me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And he goes on to say, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And look at verse number 13. If you think that that the newspaper that will come out, or the internet news stories don't sound like what's going on in verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's exactly what's happening in our world stage. And I see this, and the apostle gives him a command in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now, you know that in another passage where Timothy has talked to about it, he says, I know you've learned, you've been taught up by the Holy Scriptures, by your mom and your mother and your grandmother. And so when he says here, continue in the things that thou hast learned, what he's learned is the Word of God. I don't have time to go back there, but it is clearly spelled out in the First Timothy that he learned the Word of God from his mother and grandmother. And he says, now not only have you learned them, but you've been assured of. You know, there's certain things that you know, and then there's other things that you know really well. Meaning there's some things that you know and there's some things you've experienced. I believe there's people in this room, you know that the Lord would, you've known for a long time that the Lord would never leave you nor forsake you. But when you walk through the deepest, darkest valley that you've ever been through in your life, now you really know that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. That's exactly what he's saying. Some things you've learned and you've been assured of. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He'd watched a lot of the Apostle Paul. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then that famous passage in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And I want to preach for just a little while about that thought of continuing, because he says in verse 14, but continue thou. Now tonight, I don't want you to tune me out because you say, well, I'm not a preacher. And that young man was a preacher. Timothy was a preacher, a proclaimer of the Word of God. And yes, he was. But there is such great teaching right here that you and I need in this troubled world that we're living in. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us your touch, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. With denominations not only allowing with a blind eye turned, not only with denominations allowing sodomy and transgender and homosexuality and all the rest, now they're embracing it fully, not only allowing in their membership, but allowing in their leadership and promoting it as such. With all of these things, you can see and say that our world is a mess. And I want you to look at, first of all, as we see in verse number 11 and verse number 13, I see this isn't unusual, that's for sure, but it's not unsuspected. We knew it was going to happen. Verse number 11, look, it says that there was persecutions even back then and afflictions which came unto him at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. I see, first of all, tonight, the certainty of trouble. And lest there be any doubt that trouble is going to come find us, the apostle, through the inspiration of God, God gives through the apostle, that he gives in verse in the following verse number 12, not just that it could happen, not just that it probably might happen, not that it happened before, but he says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I don't want to be the wet blanket that says, listen, folks, it's bad and getting worse. But folks, it's bad and getting worse. But that doesn't depress me because God saw fit to let us live at this time. I talk to some Christians and they say, boy, I wish I lived back in this generation or that, or the 1950s or the late 1800s or wherever. You know, God was not taken by surprise when you were born or when the time that you were going to grow up in. If God had wanted us to be a horse and buggy person, then he would have made us be that way. You think it's bad. I mentioned when your battery dies and your car won't start. Just think about when your horse flopped down on you. You can get new batteries. You can get a new horse. And so there's problems in every era. And so God was not taken by surprise when you were born or when you live. And I'm just telling you, whatever era you were in, there was the certainty of trouble. Evil men and seducers shall, the Bible says, wax worse and worse. Again, I don't say these things to depress you. I say to prepare you. Listen, folks, there's a world out there. Yes, it's wicked, and yes, it's getting more wicked, but there's a God that's more powerful than all of that, and he saw fit to let us live in this age, and that means that by virtue of the fact he tells us to be lights, that means he will allow us to be lights if we'll allow him to work in our lives. I see the certainty of trouble, but I see not only the certainty of trouble, but look in verse number 15. I see more important than that. I see the certainty of our foundation. The Bible says, continue thou in the things that thou hast been assured of in verse number 14. But then he tells in verse number 15 what it is that you ought to continue in, that you've been taught. And that is, in verse 15, the Holy Scriptures. Our foundation stands against and amidst attacks and malignment and criticism and atheism and liberalism and all the other isms that are out there. All of them. Have you noticed that people don't fight against one against the other as much as they all fight against a common enemy? And the common enemy is anybody who says there's one truth. Have you noticed on television and interviews and things, as long as people keep it broad and general? I was listening to one on the radio driving home from Nashville the other day, that this person was talking about God and their spiritual relationship with him, and all of that was fine. But I've noticed this in many of those interviews. Whenever they get specific, and this person did not, it was a real broad thing of God and God this, and I believe in the Spirit and all that. But I've noticed when people start interviewing somebody and they get real specific and they start talking about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, then those interviewers get real, real quiet. Did you ever notice that? As long as they're talking about God in generalities, and we believe that we ought to be a spiritual person. And this person, one that I was listening to one time, said, oh yeah, I get a lot of inspiration from all spiritual sources. And they talked about the Bible. And I said, well, okay, maybe. But then they started saying, and then I get spiritual inspiration from Islam, from the Book of Quran and all of this. And I said, did you ever read in there how those are, that person that embraces that fully is an enemy of every other religion that's out there? I'm saying tonight that yes, there's a certainty of trouble, and yes, there is this difficulty out there, but I'm getting us to a place where we're going to have to be real specific and say, Jesus Christ is my rock and my anchor, my Savior, the only hope of heaven. And it may quiet down the crowd, but it's certainly where our power comes from, because we see not only the certainty of trouble, but I see the certainty of our foundation, the Holy Scriptures that thou hast been taught and thou hast been standing upon. Every generation in America has raised their kids in the same way until about the last 70 years, 60, 70 years. Whether they were in church, out of church, about every family raised their kids the same way. They raised them the Bible way. They raised them with some discipline. They raised them with being God-fearing. Overall, they raised them the scriptural way until about the 60s, when we decided to change our philosophy. And then we saw the bulk of people that just trample the Word of God. And you trace it all the way down. It took a long time for the people in different eras, or different areas rather, to fully embrace this new philosophy. But it was that we had, I've stood in this pulpit before and said, it used to be that people had a general knowledge of the Word of God, and that's true. But I'm not even speaking about the Bible stories. I'm talking about the more basic things of respect for authority. Where do you think we had that from in America? Where did we get that from here in this country? We got it from people teaching the Word of God that children are supposed to obey their parents and that we're supposed to be respectful to kings and all in authority. We got that from Bible principle. Until we decided to chuck it and then say that we can do however we want, whatever fits good for you, whatever your truth is, you just go discover your truth. Listen, my friend, I've heard that statement so many times, I'm sick of it. Your truth is not any truth if it's not the truth. And so we see the certainty of our foundation, and it's what it's always been. It's the Word of God. Whether you're talking about raising kids and how to do it, whether you're talking about a marriage and how to keep it, whether you're talking about a business and how to run it, whether you're talking about a life and how to possess it, it's all found in the Word of God. I'm saying the certainty of our foundation because, as Scripture says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Some of you may remember some years ago, Brother Jack is going to put a picture up on the screen. Warren and Pam Adams were the owner of a house that you're going to see. You can dim the light so they can see a little better possibly. You can tell everybody, boy, at our church, when the preaching comes on, they dim the lights. We're gonna give popcorn next week, but tonight, just the dimming the lights. If you can see that house standing there, that's after Hurricane Ike, a Category 4 hurricane, came through Galveston, Texas. Now, that one, it looks like it's Photoshop, but it's not. That house was owned years ago. They had to, because it looks better than it turned out to be. It had a lot of damage on the inside because just the moisture and water. Warren and Pam Adams were the owners of that house. When everything else was flattened around them in 2008, I believe it was, when Ike came through that hurricane, that house stood. You wonder why it stood? Because that wasn't the first hurricane Warren and Pam had been through. And when they built it, they built it as best they could up off the ground so that some of the force would be underneath of it, but they built it for a hurricane. And you want to know why our lives are crumbling around us? You want to know why more than 50% of marriages outside the church and unfortunately inside the church are ending in divorce? Do you want to know why we're having such trouble even figuring out not who we are, what we are as individuals? Do you want to know why we're having such trouble with families even resembling biblical normal at all? Because we weren't hurricane proofed. We didn't go down deep enough. We didn't raise up high enough. We didn't get ourselves prepared for the storm. And what happened with the Adams, the owners of that house, they decided if storms are going to come through here, we're going to put our house up and we're going to make it hurricane proof. And you look it up online, you'll see if you want a better picture of that. Everywhere around there flattened. And I'm not trying to get to the end of this race and say, look, I did better than everybody else. I don't care how we do comparatively speaking, but I want our lives to stand strong because we are building our lives. We're supposed to be building upon the rock, with the rock of Jesus Christ. I have anchored my soul in the haven of rest, as Brother Dan said. And I'm asking us this evening, if all of us as Christians would decide once again that we would put our feet firmly placed on there and say, come whatever may, I'm going to stand upon this. This and trust the Lord through whatever comes. I see, first of all, the certainty of trouble. But then I see the certainty of our foundation. And I see, number three, the certainty of our help. Look, if you will, in verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect. You know that doesn't mean without error. That means complete, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Sometimes we act like we're standing on our own. Well, it's just me out here. Well, if it had been just you, you'd been gone a long time ago. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps and you would have went down as fast as you tried to pull any bootstraps up. that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. My friend, the problem in not reading the Word of God, the difficulty that it brings, is you don't know what strength was going to be by those words that God was letting you read off that page. I got in the car with one of the brothers yesterday, and he was playing the Bible on the phone from his phone, I assume, but through his sound system in his car. Get it in you however you can get it in you. Just so happened that fellow couldn't read, so that's the way he had to do it. Right, Eugene? Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say your name. But if you can read it, that's good too. No, I thought that was great. We jumped in the car with him, and there it was, he was shutting it off till we got out of there. Get the Word of God in you. And we wonder why we're so anemic sometimes. And we wonder why we're having such struggles with the problems that come our way. Folks, we got to get suited up for battle. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, our shield of faith. We got to get ready. And I see the certainty of our help, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's in there. That's for us. That's for our benefit. That's to help us. You know what it's like to have an emergency fund, right? You know what it's like to have a safety net? You know what it's like to have a safety to, in case you get in trouble? I used to lay carpet with a fella during college, and he would always have some money stuck back in behind driver's license, something there, a couple big bills, 50, 100, or whatever. I'd always joke with him and tell him that when he got them out of there, those guys on those pictures were rubbing their eyes. They'd been in there so long. Ben Franklin was rubbing his eyes. Said, well, I haven't seen the light of day in so long. But that gives you a little bit of a safe feeling if you got some money in case something happens, in case you need something. My friend, we've got so much more than a couple hundred bucks in the back of our pocket, because we've got the Word of God. And some of us are running on empty because we're not getting a fresh infusion of it every day. It's the certainty of our help. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How many times has that comforted somebody? Because there's a few things that that most churchgoers know. But there's so much more. It's rich down in there. It's in there. And it's some of it that you need to pick out tomorrow when you get up. And maybe tonight before you go to bed, or when you get home from work tomorrow. There's things in there that you need to pull out of for yourself and get it inside you, so that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. It's the Word of God. It's there for us. It's for our help. It's for our strength. It's for our survival. There's the certainty of the problems coming, persecutions, affliction, but there's that firm foundation of the Holy Scriptures. There's that certainty of help. I hate to report it, but all of us are going to have tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. So if you're not, that means something's wrong on the other side. So all of us are going to have problems. You can't avoid it. Might as well not say that I'm going to try not have any problems this week. You're better off just to say I'm going to have a tactic to get through whatever problems come my way. Some Christian businessman I heard a long time ago, he said, I just plan when I get up, I forget the number, he said about 12. He said, I just plan for 12 major catastrophes to happen that day. That way, when they do, I'm not surprised. He said, I've already thought through a lot of them, and when they do come, I don't sit there and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe all this happened. I just say, I knew you was coming. I was watching for you. Now here's what I'm going to do about you. Folks, trouble's coming. It's here. It's around us. We don't fold up shop and go home. Instead, we say, what can I do to prepare for those troubles? I can get in the Word of God. I can get around people that I'm doing tonight. I can be around the church, and I can encourage and be encouraged, and I can go forward in the battle. Let's continue. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We'll thank you for what you've done. Lord, we're asking you to strengthen us. And Lord, I know how you're going to strengthen us is through God, your people, and your Word. And I pray we wouldn't reject either one of them. Help us continue, I pray, and we'll thank you for it all. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Here's the invitation. Folks, listen. I've come to encourage you tonight. I know it may have sounded like I was going to discourage you when we talk about how bad it is. I know it is. It's bad in churches. It's bad outside of churches. That hasn't diminished the ability of God one iota. Our God's able and ready to work just as much as he ever has been and wants to help you and help us do many, many things. You say, are you scared of what's going on in the world? Probably. But am I scared to the point where I believe God can't handle it? Not on your life. We need to continue. If you're here tonight and you're saved, then I'm asking you to ask God to give you strength to just keep on keeping on. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Christ Jesus, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, let's grab onto our Word of God one more time. And let's say with God's help and the strength that he gives, that whatever comes our way, we'll be equipped and we'll be ready for battle. Father, bless us now again is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies begin to play? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you need prayer about something. This altar is open for you. You don't need to come for salvation. You've just got something heavy on your heart. Would you come? You need somebody to pray with you? Grab them on the way down. Say, would you pray with me about something? Whatever your need is, whatever your issue you're going through is, come, pray, seek the Lord. Maybe you do need to be saved. Maybe there's somebody in this room that you're not sure heaven's your home. Would you step out and come? This world is too treacherous. The outcome too dangerous. And the destination too eternal to not come to Jesus Christ in faith. If you're here and you're not saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel is right in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. If you're a lady, he'd have a lady just take her time and show you the Scriptures. Anybody at all, slip out and come. You say, I don't want to bother somebody beside me. It'd make their night if you did bother them. You just say, excuse me, and come on out. I just ask him to play through a little bit more. God, speak him to your heart. Would you do business with him? Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. But you'd like to do it real soon. Would you step out and come and just present yourself for baptism? Say, I need to do that. I've never been baptized after I got saved, not in deep water, but you'd like to. Take that first step of obedience. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that tonight and meet with one of our staff this week and get all your questions answered. If that's you tonight, just slip out and come. I'm going to close the invitation just in a moment. But if there's something something on your heart that's heavy, wouldn't you just give it to the Lord? Father, I still feel like that there's somebody that is just, they're struggling with something that they don't need to struggle with, dear Lord. And my friend, if I'm talking about you, would you just listen to this prayer I'm giving to the Lord and know it comes from my heart? Dear Lord, if they're still struggling with something, a brother or sister in Christ, but the victory is there for them. All they have to do is give it to you. Lord, I pray you'd give them the faith to give it to you tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give them the faith to just let you have it. And we'll thank you for it all. And we praise your name through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I'm going to ask Brother Jack to put an image up on the screen. This should be an aerial shot.